Welcome to the Tripod. We break down the NRL every week, every game from a punting perspective, and this is the round three recap. I got the comments coming through. I really appreciate all you guys sharing your favorite moments of the round. For me, well, it was my best round of the season so far. After giving out three best bets in round one, three best bets in round two, I felt like a few of my leans were getting up. So maybe I got a bit too bullish this week, a bit too aggressive. I came to you guys on Wednesday night with six best bets. And certainly after a horrible Friday night, which I'll get to, I was thinking, oh, did I go, you know, bridge too far, sharing out six best bets on games? Was I not selective enough? But finished 4-2, which is obviously anytime you can win two out of every three and go 4-2 for a round is excellent. I'm really happy with that. We won the mixed matchup, which I owed you guys to get on the board. I was already copping heat. We're only 2 weeks into the season and I was copping heat as if the tip wasn't good enough. And I really believe I gave value out the last 3 weeks. It doesn't always go your way. This week, it won emphatically. So that was awesome. So well done to everyone who jumped on the mixed matchup. We didn't win either of the multis this week. Again, like, I didn't get every game right. It was a crazy round. In fact, I'd love to know how you guys went with your footy tipping. Geez, there must be some people that only got two or three tips this week. It was a bloody crazy round. But sometimes that's perfect for punting because I like to go against the grain. Look no further than what happened with the Tigers today. But let's actually rewind and start. There's the stats again, guys. So that's 8-4 for the season as well, which I'm really happy with. Let's start with the Thursday night. And you know what, guys? Oh, no, sorry. I'm all over the shop here, lads. But what I'm going to do now is quickly 60 seconds from Tristan from Top Sport, recapping the round from the bookie's perspective.
G'day, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. Another interesting week of football where, for the first time this season, we finished on the positive side of the ledger on the NRL. Our biggest result which contributed to that was the Warriors getting across the line money line. That was obviously helped quite significantly by some injuries to the Raiders, which is never good to see, but that one helped our cause. The biggest loss of the weekend was the Eels against the Sharks. We took a position on the Sharks. We thought they'd keep it close. We probably never really were too optimistic about them keeping them to zero like we needed to get the bet of the week up from our perspective, but we did expect it to be a tight scoreline. But obviously the injuries to both sides and, you know, the Sharks in particular really hurt their cause. So that was an ordinary result from our end. Well done on getting the bet up. We'll see what happens next week, and hopefully it's a good week of football ahead. Thanks, guys.
So there you had it, guys. So I think last 2 weeks, Tristan reckoned that the punters got it over the bookies. And that was because I reckon there weren't that many upsets. The games were reasonably predictable in round one and two. And a lot of people like taking their, you know, reasonably safe head-to-heads, multiing them up. And when it all goes according to plan, your average Joe on the street wins his multis and the punters get up as a whole overall. But you got to think, average Joe on the street doesn't win money on an NRL season for a whole season. And that's why I'm not backing necessarily all the obvious sides. I was on a couple of favorites this week and a couple of underdogs as well. But I just believe my method of punting on footy is to try and back some results and some sides that other people don't necessarily want to be on. And that's why in a week where the punters did bad, the pod did well, because we don't bet the same way your regular NRL punters do. Okay, so let's start with Thursday night. I mean, was that the game of the season? To me, Panthers 12, Storm 10 was the grand final that we deserved. That was the kind of match we wanted. And if the Storm didn't get out to such a big lead in the grand final last year, maybe we would have got a match that tight. But the Panthers just started a bit shell-shocked. And this match, both these teams were missing a lot of key players. Obviously, Cleary was ruled out, no Coruscant for Panthers. Pappenhausen ruled out day before game for Storm. And they've got several other outs, which is why I went against them. Finucane, Kalfusi, who else? Harry Grant is out. These are massive outs for these guys, even Brenko Lee. So that's why I went on the Panthers. The best bet was plus half a try. At the time, they were a slight underdog. By game day, they were a favorite. So in that sense, getting on plus half a try was a great bet. But I'm not going to do a victory lap on this game. This is one of these classic games where it could have gone either way. I'm sure you guys caught the game. I mean, my standout takeaways. What about Matt Burton? The talent level on this kid and watching him kick a football is a beautiful sight, like watching Steph Curry shoot a jump shot. Man, this kid's got talent. Like, I feel like they got to fit him into the team somewhere. Penrith fell behind in the game and their fullback, Dylan Edwards, broke his hand. Tyrone May comes off the bench and plays fullback and hangs in there for the Storm. I really thought they played pretty good footy. I mean, they just didn't quite take their chances, as we saw on the final play of the game. I thought Munster was still superb. I was really holding my breath, thinking I've bet against the Storm here and they're just going to be too good. And then the Panthers get what I thought is the winning try with 2 minutes to go. And then, of course, as you saw, Storm regather and we have to sweat all the way to the final second. And I've had that reoccurring nightmare before because I've seen the Storm beat me after the siren. I mean, shades of, I think, 2013, the Storm did that to the Dragons in a Monday Night Football game. Even shades of the 2016 final, where the Storm nearly did that to the Sharks, although the Sharks also hung on. And one more thing, how about the play by kick out? I mean, most players, you know, if they get knocked over on the other side of the field, there's no way they're getting across to even be anywhere near that final play. If he doesn't get there and tackle Olam, that's a win to the Storm, and that would have been brutal. And I can't say if you had the Storm, you're on the wrong side, or Panthers, you're on the right side. That's just a pure coin flip, and I'm very lucky to be on the right side of that one. It's going to go both ways through the year. I know everyone blames Justin Olam for not passing. I think if you watch the replay really closely, give credit to a guy like Charlie Staines. He was outnumbered, essentially 2-on-1. He just hung off long enough for a young, you know, guy with not much NRL experience, just long enough to make Olam think he was going to get to the line himself. I thought he was going to score, the power of the man. But Herculean effort by the Panthers. They get a little bit of revenge. It's not going to make up for 2020, but it was a fantastic result. What was not a fantastic result was Friday. Dragons 38, Seagulls 12. I'll try and keep the comments flowing through as well, guys. So I was on Manly in this one. The best bet was, again, plus half a try. And, you know, I had six best bets this round, and I was a bit worried. I went out with too many best bets, but I'll be totally honest. Manly was always going to be one of my best bets. I always want to be on a team in that situation, 0-2, but I felt like overall Manly had the stronger roster, and I just got the game wrong. But I will say the Dragons definitely impressed me. I thought they were really stout in defense. They never, like, let Manly break tackles or open them up easily. They put a lot of pressure on Manly the whole game. But the other thing was Manly had enough territory, enough field position, enough opportunities to be a lot closer in that game. But their completion rate was 45% at halftime. The number of tackles they had in the Dragons 20 was definitely enough to mount pressure and to get, you know, if not get level, get ahead in the game. And they just kept dropping the ball. They kept letting the Dragons off the hook. But on the other side of the coin, Dragons too good for them. Dragons, the team that most people picked for the Wooden Spoon, start the year with 2 out of 3 wins, more wins than the Storm. How about that? And you've got to give them credit. And nobody really thought McCulloch was a big pickup, especially when they lost Cam McInnes in the preseason. But McCulloch was fantastic again on Friday, and he is showing he's an underrated pickup. And maybe I've got to give a little credit where credit's due with Hook, because he's got this team playing confident, playing tough. Manly, on the other hand, yeah, you just can't be that sloppy and win on the road. And they got flogged and made the best bet obviously look embarrassing. To be completely honest, I'd rather be totally wrong and lose then feel like I was right, but we lose a close one. So I just got to wear that one. We move to Friday night, which we thought might have been the blockbuster of the round. That is Rabbitohs Roosters. It was 26-16 to the Rabbitohs. And that doesn't really sum up the game, honestly. Rabbitohs probably deserved to win that game by 20, I thought. Let me know what you guys thought about that one. But Rabbitohs just got out of the blocks early, looked hungrier, and I was on the Roosters. So again, this was a back-to-back games where my best bet barely even stood a chance. So I laid the 3.5 at the Roosters. Now, Victor Radley got scratched after I gave that best bet, but players, you know, that goes in your favour and against you throughout a season. So, I mean, it didn't help the Roosters' cause, but I don't think it would have been the difference. I guess in hindsight, I just look at the game and say the Roosters didn't come in ready for battle. Maybe two soft opponents in week 1 and 2, and I thought that was a sign that they were in red-hot form. Maybe it was more a sign that they met no resistance in week 1 and 2, and then they played a team that really was willing to, you know, give as good as they got. And the Rabbitohs showed us all why most people had them as the 2021 favourites. The Rabbitohs were awesome. The Rabbitohs forward pack dominated. You look at a guy like Luttrell, unreal. The other storyline, so I'm 0-2 on Friday night best bets, but the other storyline we've got to talk about on Friday night was the injuries. Absolutely brutal. I mean, Lachie Lamb does an MCL, so I think it'll be a month or two, and he's been playing 5/8 for the Roosters, but Luke Keary, ACL. So that's his season. And this is maybe brutal, but that's the Roosters season as far as I'm concerned. And I've got all the respect in the world for Trent Robinson and that football club, but I don't think that team can reach the level that they need to win the competition. I really think we came into this season with maybe, depending on how you look at it, I thought maybe six contenders. And I think you've got to put a line through the Roosters, as crazy as that is. It's a brutal season. It just goes to show you need injury luck. You look at teams like Penrith last year, one of the reasons they made the grand final, they got like no major injuries. And that's why it's so hard to be successful in this competition. And it just makes it all the more impressive that the Roosters did win back-to-back comps a couple of years ago, but they got the injury bug last year. And again, horrible injury. We'll wait and see what they do. I mean, if there's a silver lining, we get to see what Sam Walker can do. Maybe Swali comes into the side if they want to play Joey Manu. We'll wait and see how they're going to reshuffle. But you can't lose a guy like Keary and still make the grand final, in my opinion. I did rule out the Raiders last year when they lost Hodgson and they got all the way to the prelim. So who knows? But that's a really rough loss for the Roosters. Let's move on to Saturday. The games didn't get any less crazy, lads. Let's talk about Raiders Warriors. So as Tristan said, this was the biggest reason why the punters didn't win overall on Top Sport, and I'm sure it's the same across the other bookies, because so many people had the Raiders in their multis. And from my opinion on the game, this was a game I didn't take a best bet. I got it half right, I reckon. I said I could see the Raiders getting up big, and with a with new halves in there, with Sean O'Sullivan coming in for Harris Tavita, I didn't think the Warriors would be able to chase points if they fell behind. Well, they were down 31-10 and they came back for their biggest comeback win in franchise history. So I was a bit wrong about that one. How did the Warriors do it? If you didn't see the game, I mean, at least do yourself a favor and go back and watch the highlights. There's a comment there from Jasper about the new rules, loving and hating them. So there's definitely a debate about how do the rules increase more fatigue in the game? Does that lead to more injuries? But also the new rules definitely makes it more possible for teams to score a lot of points in a row, which is what the Warriors did. But as I said, how did they come back? Well, for one, the Raiders players were dropping like flies. I think three ended up in the HIA and couldn't return. They had no bench second half. Warriors were throwing footy at them all afternoon. And on top of that, it was a forward pass that was not called, which pulled them back within 9 points. And that's a big call there, because I think if they stayed, 15 down, that's three tries they would have needed in the last 15 minutes or whatever. But I think they get pretty lucky there. And it was really bizarre the way Perenara stopped in his tracks and then didn't call the forward pass. But Warriors catch a break there. Warriors end up getting the try that gets their nose in front with, again, like 2 minutes to go, just like the Panthers game. And then just like the Panthers game, there's a regathered kickoff by the Raiders. And just like the Panthers Storm game, there's a frantic final play of the match and the ball makes its way across to Jordan Rapana. He's diving. We know how often wingers put that down. If Rapana grounds the ball there, Raiders get a famous win. And who comes across? None other than Superman himself. RTS flies. And I always think a lot of the time the defender tries to make a play on the body of the winger, but the wingers put their bodies in midair so you can't really be pushed out. But RTS makes a play on his wrist, forces the ball loose, and saves a try. Absolutely outstanding. I was just watching it on my own, just laughing out loud at what a freak RTS is. We're going to miss him to this game. But if anyone was questioning how's he going to go this year with his eyes looking at rugby, he is still, producing captain's knocks every week. Very well-deserved win for the Warriors. Ricky was filthy, but he was also proud of his troops. Again, if you saw all the adversity the Raiders faced in that game, you don't take too much away from them. In that second half, they did well, really, to hang on and to have an opportunity to possibly steal that game. Now, let's move to what was not a great game to watch, really, which was the Broncos 24 beating the Bulldogs 0. Again, I think we have quite a misleading final score here. Now, I'll take it. I had a best bet on the Broncos, -3.5, $2. I was brave enough to take the Broncos in this one. The mixed matchup also needed Eels to outscore the Bulldogs. So I was watching this game, certainly hoping Brisbane's defense was going to hold up. And it was 2-0 at halftime. I think it was 2-0 after 60 minutes. And it really was anyone's game. It was really obvious to me that both these teams were desperate, but they were tense and they were nervous and they were playing nervous. And the execution was so bad. It was also quite clear why these teams are where they are on the ladder. I don't want to knock a guy like Flanagan, Kyle Flanagan, because I know that he's got a bright future ahead of him. But I will just say, before the season, a lot of people are saying, oh, Kyle Flanagan is the answer. That's going to turn the Bulldogs attack around. And I said, like, it just reminded me a lot of what everyone said 12 months ago. Oh, Brody Croft's exactly what Brisbane needs to steer their forward pack around. It's a lot of pressure on a kid that hasn't really ever starred in a team before. And Kyle Flanagan, I think he can still improve. But again, I just say it. Dogs need time. Dogs need a lot more time before they're going to get anywhere close to where they want to be. In saying that, if they had broken through and scored first, they very well could have won. It was one of those cases where the match was so tight. Once the Broncos finally broke the game open, then they carried on with it. And I was very happy for them to hold the Dogs to a goose egg and, you know, comprehensively win the best bet. I don't know what you guys thought of the Broncos' performance. To me, it doesn't mean they're back. But, hey, let's acknowledge that Payne Haas is back in 2 weeks, I think. Matt Lodge is back next week. And Katoni Staggs will be back mid-season. They're not going to be pushovers when those three are back in this lineup. There's a bit there to like, including in the outside backs, Herbie Farnworth. He's a real find, and he was, I think, Brisbane's best on the field. He was really looking dangerous every time he touched the ball when not many other attacking players were looking too dangerous. Let's move to the late game on Saturday night where we won another best bet. I laid the -7.5 with the Eels. And again, 28-4 to Parramatta does not really tell the full story, which is that this was a very gutsy performance by the Sharks because just like the Raiders, they were a mash unit. They lost four starters, including three within the first 20 minutes of the match, and their fullback Kennedy at halftime, who could not return. They played the entire second half, and we talk about the new rules and how, you know, that just compounds fatigue. They played the whole second half with no interchange, and they had middle forwards out there, you know, like Toby Rudolph and Williams, like guys that out of position and that would never have to play a whole half without getting an interchange. They were absolutely gassed. And it was 10 forward Parramatta for a long time in this game before they got three late tries. Remember, the line was -7.5. And I was just thinking, I mean, surely Parramatta's going to roll over them here. But if the Sharks get a fluke play, if they get an intercept, if they get a set and chance their arm and do a chip chase, like, we should not have to sweat this. And in the end, the Eels trampled them. So I'm not going to heap a lot of praise on Parramatta. I'm certainly happy that they're 3-0 while a couple of other contenders have dropped games, because I did tip Eels 15-1 as a smoky for minor prem. Did talk about them making top four, and they're in the make top eight for the season multi at 15-1. So that's all really looking good for Eels. But as far as I'm concerned, they just took care of business in this one. I mean, if I'm going to heap praise on anyone, it's Gutho, because the motor on that man is phenomenal when he is everywhere, saving tries at one end and always having a hand in them in attack as well. So that was a very nice result because, as I mentioned before, the mixed matchup, we needed Eels to outscore Canterbury. Well, that one, as soon as they got their first try, they ended up getting 28 points. So we won the mixed matchup 28 points to nil after last week we lost when it was 16-16. So really tough loss, and then a very easy win. We'll see what I can come up with next week. Let's move to the Sunday games, guys. Keep the comments coming through. So how about this one? A week ago, here I was defending myself for picking the Tigers on successive Sunday afternoon football games. How many comments did I cop? I lost count of the amount of comments on YouTube and Facebook and the app. Don't back the Tigers. Tigers never again. When are you going to learn? You must be a Tigers fan. And, well, they upset the Knights in Mitchell Pearce's 300th. Now, just on that, I made a bit of a deal about the Mitchell Pearce's 300th because I did think they'd come in with a lot of focus. But I was recalling, I think the Tigers went down and upset Melbourne early in the season about 2 or 3 years ago in Billy Slater's 300th. So just because it's a player's milestone game doesn't assure anything. The Tigers were 0-2. And one thing I said about round three, I did not want to bet against any 0-2 sides. The only 0-2 side I did bet against was the Bulldogs, but they were also playing an 0-2 Broncos, so it kind of cancelled out. Now, this was a back-and-forth game. I mean, the Tigers didn't win easy. They let in two late tries to the Knights, one by Mitchell Pearce, and then Frizzell puts the Knights in front. It's only a try with 3 minutes to go to Nufaloma that that secures a win for the Tigers, but that is a massive win for us. We also had a best bet on the total, essentially, or not the total, but the market was race to 30 neither. I talked on Wednesday about looking to play the Tigers here. I wasn't afraid to back them. I would have loved to get plus 10.5, but the line was 9.5 at the time. And I thought Knights will show up for this one. Let's take neither to 30. And in the end, if either of these teams got 30, it could have nearly been the Tigers. They had the ball late. Moses Mbai knocks it on over the line. So guess a little bit lucky there. And I was even a little bit gun shy and I didn't actually back the Tigers. But backing a neither to 30 or even in general backing an unders is usually showing faith in the underdog. I had faith, but I'm extra pumped the fact that the West got the win because it helps that season future. We've got tips like Tigers to win over 7.5 games. And you look at the Tigers season, if I can just talk about the Tigers a little longer, down in Canberra round one, against the Roosters round two, Knights in Newcastle round three. I mean, to get one win out of those three, I'm happy with that. That's a decent return so far. The Tigers showing us they might just have something to offer. But I will also say, of course, the Knights are under strength. Bradman Best was ruled out before the game. That's a big loss for them, and that was lucky. That definitely played into our favour. Kalen Pong is not there yet. Lachie Fitzgibbon is still going to come back into this team. So they've got a few guys that can strengthen this side, but they will be very disappointed to have let that one slip. And then the final game of the round was Cowboys at home getting pumped by the Titans 44-8. Are the Cowboys the worst team in the comp right now? You've got Taumalolo out and then Michael Morgan was ruled out, I think, yesterday. And there's talk about whether he's got chronic injuries. I can't remember. I didn't see the full story if it's back related, but there's talk about whether he'll ever be able to play the game again. So that's really scary and sad. But I looked at the -5.5 with the Titans. And as I said, I just was not going to back against any 0-2 teams in round three. So I wasn't going to take the Titans, but I had no faith in the Cowboys. So I wasn't interested in them. Now, when I say -5.5, that's what the line was on Wednesday. But once Morgan was out, this line today, I think, was probably around -7.5. If you took it, well done, because the Titans forward pack steamrolled the Cowboys. Now, does anybody have the stat for me? Because I was just looked quickly at the stats because I couldn't believe my eyes. Did Dave Fifita break the all-time record for tackle breaks in a game? Because I checked with like 15 to go and he had 12 tackle breaks. So you talk about forward domination. I'm not sure if he got a couple more or what the record is. I know sometimes some elusive outside backs like Kotrick or even Nofaluma had a bunch of tackle breaks today. Obviously, a guy like Taumalolo's probably had a lot in some of his big games. But, I mean, that's men against boys kind of stuff. That's absolutely insane what Fifita did and leading the way for the Titans forward pack, and they absolutely rolled. Now, on that note, I also want to give a shout-out to a lot of the boys in the group, such as Matt O'Keefe, and it's Matt and a lot of other guys, have been sharing heaps of tips in the Facebook group with a lot of look-ahead lines. They've been scouting which bookies have got lines available on the upcoming round and where they think they've got them wrong. And an example was Matt gave out the Titans -1.5 today, 1 week early. And I mean, as I said, it closed like 7.5. And I think Matt also gave out Titans +6.5 against the Raiders next week at the Gold Coast. And I'm fairly sure that that line won't be available next week. Now, I miss the days where the pod, we used to give out awesome look ahead lines. Another one was on Friday night when the Roosters copped all those injuries. You could have got Warriors +12.5 next week against the Roosters. That's long gone. I don't share look ahead lines anymore. What I found is if I gave a look-ahead line and it would often beat the number by a significant amount, but the bookies are so sensitive in moving those look-ahead lines that the line would move so quickly. Everyone would say, oh, I missed it. I didn't get on. But if it lost, I'd still get the heat for a losing best bet. But if it won, people would say, oh, nobody got on it. So I just stick to sharing out best bets on Wednesday night live, exactly when you know they're coming out for the upcoming round. But I love seeing the guys in the group that are finding value for the boys and sharing it out. So I almost am doing you guys a favor by not posting about these look-ahead lines because, if I post a look-ahead line, I just find it's so sensitive, they just disappear so quickly. But if we share them around a little bit, you guys might still be getting some fantastic value. And speaking of value, guys, that will do it. I'll be back on Wednesday night. Remember to catch the premiere live on YouTube if you want to watch it live with your fellow pod followers. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the footy as much as me this weekend. As always, gamble responsibly. Lego.